Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Ephesians 6, 17 to 20. All of us are reading together. It's there on the screen. Let's go. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're discussing on prayer and spiritual warfare. Prayer and spiritual warfare. We've been discussing now for some weeks on spiritual warfare, on the fact that we are engaged in a huge conflict that spans both heaven and the earth. We have established clearly that Jesus Christ came to establish our victory. He went to the cross, defeated Satan, the power of sin, and the consequences of sin, the power of death primarily. 1 John 3:8, the B part says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus delegated his authority to us. Luke 10, 18 and 19. He said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And behold, I give unto you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we have delegated authority from Christ to enforce the victory that Jesus secured for us. John 21 verse 20, he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So the same way Jesus was running the devil out of town is the way we have been sent. To run devils out of town, destroy the works of the devil, establish God's kingdom and his values on our planet. Prayer is an important dimension to spiritual warfare because prayer encompasses everything that has to do with spiritual warfare. All the things we've been discussing. It is on the platform of prayer that we engage the spiritual world, that we relate with the spiritual world. Because prayer is simply communication with the spiritual world. Prayer is communication with God. And it is through prayer that we also enforce our victory on principalities and powers. So let's explore the different dimensions to this communication, different dimensions to prayer. The disciples of Jesus saw how effective he was in destroying the works of the devil. One day they said to him, Master, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gave his disciples and all of us a model prayer. People call it the Lord's Prayer. It's more appropriate to call it the disciples' prayer. Jesus gave it as a model to the disciples. Okay, the first thing, through prayer, we receive forgiveness of sins. This is important. It has everything to do with spiritual warfare. Because the major prerequisite for effective prayer is righteousness. James chapter 5 verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Of a righteous man. Righteousness here is not perfection. Righteousness here is right standing with God. Right standing with God. You know how it works. From 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, being ready to revenge every disobedience when your own obedience is complete. If you are not obeying God, demons won't obey you. They can see clearly. Listen, when a demon sees you or when the devil sees you, the devil doesn't see only your physical body, the devil sees your spiritual state. If you are not right with God, they know. And the reality is that in spiritual warfare, it's not our own authority that we use. Jesus said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. So it's the authority of Jesus that Satan recognizes. If you are out from under that authority, demons won't obey you. Righteousness is important. Proverbs 15 and verse 8 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God, but the prayer of the righteous is his delight. The prayer of the righteous is his delight. This is important because we live in an environment where many people pray before they commit crime. In fact, yesterday, Pastor Nick and I heard, we were told how someone who was kidnapped said that at the kidnapper's den, every morning, the kidnappers led prayer. Every morning. Can you imagine? When people want to smuggle, they pray. Armed robbers pray. Just shows how warped people's thinking are. Warped. They don't even know who they are praying to. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. Some of the testimonies people share are testimonies because God has nothing to do with the testimony they are sharing. There was a lot of compromise that went in there. God has no business with that. Anybody who reads his Bible well knows it's not every offering that God takes. He doesn't take stolen money. Okay? So the first thing we do with prayer is to come into right standing with God, receive forgiveness for our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So through prayer, that's what we do. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. The second thing that we do through prayer is to worship God. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Primarily, we recognize God as our King, as our ultimate, our helper, our provider. We celebrate his worth. He is higher than all the kings of the earth. And we celebrate that through prayer. With that, when he shows up on our behalf, he will beat down any army that confronts us. We must learn to bring him on the scene by worshiping and praising him. The next thing we do through prayer is to ask God for resources. We ask God for resources. There is no soldier that goes to the battlefront and has to look for ammunition on his own. Headquarters has the responsibility to supply the weapons. You don't go looking for weapons to buy on your own when you are part of an army. We must understand that that's how God works also. That when he sends us on an assignment, it is not our resources but his resources that we use. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not man-made. They are powerful through God to pull down strongholds. We can't use our weapons. We have to use God's weapons. So we've got to learn to ask for resources, whatever those resources may be. I see a mistake that many people make. God sends them on an assignment, and then they take the responsibility to look for the resources to fulfill God's assignment. See, the earlier you realize that you cannot fund God's project, the better for you. Listen, if you try to use your brain to arrange provision for God's project, you want to kill yourself. You have signed a contract with worry and anxiety. Because God does not consult your resources to make his plans. He consults his own resources. He doesn't plan to the size of your ability. He plans to the size of his ability. So I find a strange situation where God gives people assignments and then they now worry so much about how to get the resources. And then they go about talking to people, asking people, how do I raise the funds? How do I raise capital? God would never have sent you on that assignment if he didn't have the resources ready. He never would have. And you are asking the wrong people. The best person to ask when it's a God assignment is God himself. Amen? It's God himself. The tax man came to Peter and said, you and your boss need to pay taxes. Peter told Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, go down to the river. The first fish that you catch, you will find money in its mouth. Pay taxes for yourself and for myself. One instruction will connect you with your provision. Amen. One instruction. Just one. He's got the resources. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the doors shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. And he who knocks, the doors will be opened to him. Amen. Through prayer, we receive direction. And this is also a very important dimension to spiritual warfare. Direction. Instructions. Strategies. God is a master strategist. If you are hearing from God, you won't lose battles. God is a master strategist. In the early part of my Christian experience, the only prayers that I had about spiritual warfare was, brethren, let us pull down the strongholds of the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And in my mind, I would imagine some big, huge iron gate. It was later that I was reading Luke 14. From verse 28, Jesus said, which of you intending to build a tower will not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he has enough to finish it? He said, lest he should start it and not be able to finish, and people should begin to mock him. He was talking about planning. Planning. Then he said in verse 30, or which king will go to war with 10,000 soldiers against him who comes with 20,000? Okay? He said, which king going to make war against another king does not sit down first to consult, to see whether he can confront someone with 20,000, with his own 10,000? Jesus was not suggesting there that it is the size of the army that guarantees victory. He wasn't suggesting that. He wasn't saying that with 10,000 you can't confront 20,000. He wasn't saying that. But he was saying that you need to sit down and strategize. Am I right? So when you see the military generals in the war room, they have the map. And they play scenario. If the enemy comes from this flank, this is what we'll do to counter the enemy. If the enemy comes from that flank, they play all the scenario. And then they have all their strategies ready, prepared. Okay? And that was Jesus speaking about warfare. And it was the strategy he was emphasizing. And you have loads of Christians. They know how to blow the head of the devil off, but they don't like to think. And they don't realize that God is the master strategist. So when you learn to wait on God for direction, you never miss it and you don't lose battles. God gives battle strategies. In 1 Samuel 23, You see why David, the king in the Bible, never lost a single battle all his life. He always took his strategies and marching orders from God. He was running away from Saul, his boss, King Saul. He was in a city called Keilah. Then he heard that the Philistines were coming to attack the city. So he prayed. He said, "Lord, should I attack the Philistines?" God said, "Yes. Will you deliver them into my hand?" He said, "I will deliver them into your hand." He prayed the second time. God said, "I will do it." So he went after the Philistines, attacked them, and delivered the city from destruction. And just after that, Saul the king heard that David was in Keilah and began to march towards Keilah. David heard. So he prayed. He said, "Lord, will Saul come down?" God said, "He will come down." He said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me into the hand of Saul?" God said, "They will deliver you." Listen, I find it interesting that David prayed that prayer at all, because it would have been safe for him to assume that these people of Keilah, whom he delivered from the Philistines, should also be willing to lay down their lives for him, to protect him. David didn't take any chances. He prayed. Listen, the strategy that worked for you yesterday may not work for you today. When you learn to walk with God, you understand he has a million and one different ways by which he can get you victory. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen.
He gives you the strategy. He doesn't want you to shift your trust from him to the strategy. Some people leave God, they now trust the means that God used to create a breakthrough for them. They want to repeat it and repeat it. God has left it. He's moved on. He doesn't want you to turn that strategy into your idol. He wants you to keep your focus on him. So, it would have been safe for David to assume the men of Keilah would. No, he prayed again, asking for wisdom, asking for direction. "Will they deliver me?" He said, God said, "They will deliver you." He escaped. The divine strategy for battle in that instance was to run away. That was the strategy. Hallelujah. Yeah. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will never lose any battle anymore. Yeah. What do we pray for? For help. We learn to ask God for help through prayer. We learn to ask God for help. Jesus taught us to pray, "And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Sometimes you know it. You are under attack. You know it. You are under a siege. The devil comes, maybe through your job, maybe through your business, maybe your health, maybe your marriage, maybe your finances. But you know you are under siege. Learn to ask God for help. He will show up on your behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. David prayed one day for help. Very interesting prayer point. 2 Samuel 15, his son Absalom decided to take over the throne from him. Well, and he began to gather an army. On a normal day, that would not be an issue for David. David was a warrior. But the Bible says there that when David heard that Ahithophel had gone to be with Absalom, David left Jerusalem. David ran away. One man, Ahithophel. They said concerning Ahithophel that his counsel was like the counsel of God. When Ahithophel spoke, it was like God spoke. Accuracy. Master strategist. It was a gift. That was his own talent. The gift of wisdom. He could see the future clearly, like this, better than anybody. Every leader needs a person like that. If you want to make accurate decisions, or you pray that you should be the Ahithophel, because that was Solomon's prayer. Solomon prayed for wisdom. Wisdom said in Proverbs 8, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice." When David heard that the master strategist, 100% accuracy, was with Absalom, he knew he was a dead man, except God stepped in. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some people like that, you see, who give their gifts over to Satan to advise people in different positions of authority. And the decisions that will be made are going to influence you. You've learned, got to learn to pray for help. Amen. I discovered one thing though, if God is on your side, there is no decision of any board that is final until God says so. Amen. If they have a meeting, make a decision that is contrary to your destiny. If you know how to pray, that decision, they will change it. Amen. One of our brothers told me his own story. He knew he was supposed to get a job. They did some manipulations, gave the job to somebody else. 2 years later, the person couldn't do anything. They came back and re-awarded the contract to him. Mm-hmm. I think it's Ezekiel 21:27, if I'm correct, that says, I will overturn it until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. If you learn to pray, God can overturn it. What human beings call full stop, God can turn it into a comma and carry the story forward. Amen. I love what somebody said, that they said Sarah was well past menopause. He said, thank God they call it menopause, not menostop. If it's pause, the story can continue. The word of God will still be fulfilled. Amen. David prayed, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And God had him. Of course, he deployed also a physical strategy. He sent someone, Hushai, to go be with Absalom. Tell him you have submitted to him that you are on his side. He said, when Ahithophel speaks, he said, counter him. Give a counter opinion. Hushai did so. They rejected the counsel of Ahithophel. They took that of Hushai. The moment Ahithophel had that, you know what he did? He went home and committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? Because of his gift. As he and Hushai were trading, the two of them knew what they were talking about. Nobody else understood there. The battle was fought and won there. It was strategy. The moment they rejected his counsel, Ahithophel knew we're going to die. That's why he went and died. There was no point delaying it. We will die. Anyone, anywhere, who turns their gift, God-given gift of wisdom and strategy against your destiny, God will turn their wisdom into foolishness. Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. This is why we need to pray in spiritual warfare. One other thing we do in spiritual warfare is to intercede. That's when we pray on behalf of others, to intercede. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort that first of all, prayers, supplications with thanksgiving should be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. Sometimes the weight, the pressure, is too much for one person. We've got to learn to stand on behalf of people. What I've observed, though, is that many people lack wisdom. When Satan is bombarding someone, instead of praying for such a person, they criticize. See, and they don't know that unwarily they are joining Satan's army to destroy the life of a Christian, even if the person is not saved. But specifically, the Bible mentions here for kings and for all who are in authority. If you've been following our story, once you begin to exercise influence over a territory, you will confront territorial spirits. Amen? Once they call someone governor, the person has come into discussion with principalities and powers. The moment Jesus was anointed at River Jordan and wanted to begin his ministry, he and Satan had to do discussion. And Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment and the glory thereof, and told him, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give all these to you, because everything has been delivered to me. So you want to exercise influence over a city, over a nation, over an area of business, you are going to confront principalities and powers. We have to learn to pray for kings and for all who are in authority. And we have a situation in our own environment where many people occupy those positions who do not have the capacity to deal with territory and spirits. But listen, whether they have capacity or not, whatever decisions they make will affect our lives. So he said we should pray for them so that we may live in peace. Amen? So that we may live in peace. It's interesting. Some people think, oh, pastors are so anointed, they don't need prayer. Satan knows when you strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. He knows pastors need prayer. Amen? Amen. Some people who never said one prayer for a pastor, when something goes wrong with the pastor, they will be the first spreading rumors and gossip. And they never said a single prayer. More because people assume that a pastor's life is perfect. They never imagined that we go to the toilet. Our lives are perfect. They envy us. Ah, they want to be like us. The fame, you know, all those beautiful pictures on flyers, all the suits and the cars. They envy the pastor's wife. Man, they just wish they were the ones. That's fine. It's good. It's a photo you like. You know, we were visiting with Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo's some few weeks back at their new facility in London, the Prayer City. Awesome. Pure miracle, that facility. Pure miracle. Pure miracle. 24 acres with 12 buildings on it. Practically new. The main auditorium, 5,000, seating 5,000, before they even do any expansion at all. The heating system alone, he said, is worth £4 million, and they bought the whole thing for £5 million. The heating system alone, and you have 12 buildings, you have man-made lake, you have woods, they have prayer gardens there. It's remarkable. So we were saying, you know, those of us who went were saying, ah, sir, Lord, you must do this for us. Ah! We must do our own. Pastor Matthew said, hold on. Before you pray for my blessing, you need to ask for my persecution also. I'm not sure if I want that part. Intercession. We must learn to pray for people, because it's spiritual warfare going on in their own lives. And then we pray to enforce our victory. We pray in order to enforce our victory. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, not loving their own lives unto death. It is through prayer that we confront principalities and powers and establish God's promises for us. Finally, corporate prayer is powerful. Corporate prayer is powerful. When Christians get together to pray, things happen. Matthew 18, from verse 18, Jesus said, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you allow or whatever you lose on earth or allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. That's what binding and losing means. Whatever you forbid and whatever you allow. Then he said in the next verse, verse 19, and if any two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. If you agree on anything. The next verse, verse 20, said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Paul and Silas were together in prison, praying. singing praises and hymns to God, God stepped into that prison. There was an earthquake and they were freed. When we gather together to pray, power flows. Acts chapter 4, if you read from verse 29, they had beaten the apostles Peter and John. The Bible says, and they went back and reported all that the chief priests had done to their own company. And when they lifted up their voices and prayed, Lord, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagined a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed. Okay? He said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And the Bible says, when they had prayed, that the place where they were praying shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Power came down where they were praying together. In Acts chapter 5, it so happened that Herod took James, the head of the church, and killed him. The Bible says, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded and took Peter also, planning that after the feast, he would also kill him. So they kept him in prison behind four quaternions of soldiers. That's four soldiers behind four gates. Four soldiers at each gate. Four gates before you got to where Peter was. And his hands and his feet were in stocks, lying down between two soldiers. Then the Bible says prayer was made by the church continually for Peter. When they arrested James, they didn't pray. When they now took Peter, they saw, this thing is coming up. Yeah. They prayed. In the night, an angel went into that prison, tapped Peter, said, stand up. The chains just fell off. The soldiers were sleeping soundly. They didn't know what was going on. The angel said, follow me. As they approached each gate, the gate opened of its own accord. When they passed, it closed. The second one, the third one, the fourth one. Then the angel said, please go. Continue to preach your message. That's when he realized it was not a dream. He went to the house of Mark, where they were praying for him. A young maid came out, opened the door, saw him, and said, yay, I saw a ghost. What were you praying for, young girl? Well, maybe she wasn't part of the prayer. A miracle happened because the church prayed. There is no system, no force, no power, no rulership, no authority anywhere on this planet that can bury the church. We have power. The power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords behind us. When we pray collectively together, I'm telling you, power flows on our behalf. Don't run away from church. Very interesting that people who don't know God, who are not close to God, when they have serious problems, they run to church. The ones who are Christians, who know God, when they have serious problems, they stop coming to church. Isn't that interesting? Don't run away from God when you need God the most. Don't run away from Christians when you need other Christians the most. Stay in church. Amen. Amen. And let's do the praying together. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous men and women will be powerful in its effect and dynamic in its working, according to Amplified Version of the Bible. Hallelujah. James 5:16. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's a new day. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself helps us against our weaknesses. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Whatever the weakness is, whatever it is that is standing between you and prayer, whoever it is that is distracting you from prayer, whatever it is slowing you down, weakening your prayer life, I declare it is removed from your life now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Each time you take a posture now to pray, the power of the Spirit will fill you. Amen. God will help you beyond your own ability. Amen. Prayer shouldn't be boring. Jesus would go to the mountain to pray and he would stay there all night. If it was boring, he would not stay there all night. He was drawing power. He was drawing revelations, getting instructions. When he came down, miracles happened. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Anytime you take the posture for prayer, the Spirit of God will come on you. I prophesy in Jesus' name that you will experience raw power.
Amen.
And I prophesy anything Satan throws at you will become an opportunity for miracles.
Amen.
You will not lose a battle again the rest of your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to pray with that person in this service. Honest person who will say, Pastor Sam, please pray with me. My lifestyle is not right with God. My lifestyle is not right with God. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me my sins. Jesus paid for your sins already, like we said earlier on. Can we pray together for forgiveness of sins? If you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to pray with you very quickly. A short prayer. Pastor Sam, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, you are here, you are in the overflow, can you please stand by your chair? We'll be done in about 1 minute. Can you please stand? You didn't come here by accident. God brought you here. It's a day for change, a day for victory. You are free from satanic oppression or harassment from this point on. If you're watching on the internet, also put your hand on your heart, please, as you join us. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who are standing as we ask that the power of the Holy Ghost should rest on them. And we thank you for destroying the nature of sin from their hearts and putting your own nature in them. Thank you. In Jesus' name.